folks who remember from last week heard that fascinating description of what was going on in El Salvador and how a DEA agent tried to bust the United States government and found out that that wasn't going to happen, to his chagrin. And I think the whole constitutional question about how here is a man who was raised to who fought in Vietnam and was a true believer and wound up seeing that that he had been lied to.
And that, but he said that he continued to believe he was doing the right thing because he had sworn to uphold the Constitution.
Right,
and
right.
And that he felt it was just a continuation of that.
Mm, yeah, but obviously the government was not following, his own government was not following the Constitution he had sworn to uphold.
They didn't agree with
him. as the word goes. And let's see. I'll call him. You're on the air. Persistence.
Hello?
Pays, baby.
Hello?
Hi,
hello?
You're on the radio.
Yeah. Here's what I want to say.
Mm.
In the year, there are 52 weeks.
Mm.
Okay. Half a year is 26 weeks.
Last time I checked.
I've listened to, it was just like yourself and what's his name?
John Moosey?
Who used to do the news in the morning. What's his name? Anyway, it seems to me that...
Who used to? A lot of people used to do the mornings, as I remember...
Right, night.
Zach. Did the news? Right, no, Zach. But I see you're focusing on one person who did
for a brief period of time
as if they were the only person who ever did it for years and years.
No.
I think he did it for a period of a few months or even a few weeks, really.
Okay, Robert Knight.
Right, in the whole thing. But you see what I'm saying here?
But wait a minute.
You're focusing on and creating a misrepresentation.
I'm not creating anything.
I believe you're creating a misrepresentation. He was not the morning guy. He was one of many different people who have done that morning show.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, he did it for a lesser period of time than most.
Okay, are you the morning guy now?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
I'm here in the morning, right? It's 4 a.m.
Okay, well, he was too.
And you're listening to WBAI in New York.
Okay, well, here's my point. If you were to do 26 weeks of the morning show, and if he were to do 26 weeks of the morning show, and I say that, I mean everybody.
Listen, you know what? You don't know what's going on here. You have no idea. Let me tell you something. You don't know. I know what's going on as far as the internal work rules and what has to be done and what demands have been made and what things have been held up. And I'm telling you that the answer to this problem is not as simple as you think, and it's beyond, way beyond my ability to discuss. Don't you understand what I'm saying?
You know what I'm going
to
say?
It's more to it than what you're saying, than what you realize.
You know what I'm going to say before I say it?
It's not a matter of that. I'm telling you that it's like not solvable as easily as you, because demands have been made on both sides of an issue by two people in a negotiation or whatever you want to call it, and both sides are negotiating or working on these demands, and they're not finding, as far as I know, not finding a way out of it, and I don't really know what's going to come of it, and it has really nothing to do with anything that could be solved amicably by me or anybody. Because I'm telling you, I know things I can't talk about, because to be honest with you, I would be violating people's the privacy that they've desired to have, and I'm telling you that it's not so easy.
Can you listen for a minute, please?
But you're not listening.
Look, I'm
you want a simple, amicable solution to a big problem.
But you haven't listened to what I'm saying.
All right, go ahead. You're telling me that let's trade off 26-26. It ain't going to happen that way.
No.
Because it's a political dispute.
No, you're not listening to me. Okay.
Oh, go ahead and say something.
Okay, what I'm saying...
I don't have to listen to you, by the way, because you're one person out of 30 million, and your opinion's really only one 30 millionth of our listening audience. But go ahead.
Okay. Suppose you were to work 1 week.
But you're not listening to me.
You're not listening.
That's not going
to
happen. Forget it.
All you said to me.
I'm telling you. I mean, why do you insist on repeating to me something that I'm telling you flat out ain't going to happen?
Okay.
Ignore it. Find another idea.
Let me go to another idea. Let me tell you why, okay?
All right. It ain't going to happen.
Okay, let me tell you why.
It just ain't going to happen.
Let me tell you why, okay? I'm a lawyer, okay?
It doesn't matter. It ain't going to happen.
I was an administrative law judge for the Division of...
It doesn't matter. It ain't going to happen.
I have settled cases.
This ain't a case. This is a no. This is
settled cases.
This is not. You're wrong, though. It's not
around the state of New York.
It's not a question of two people who need to work out a disagreement between them. It is a deep political thing in which it is impossible for one side to serve while the other side is in power, because it would be the same thing as the other person eating the poop of the person in power, publicly.
Listen,
you know what I mean?
I know, but
you know what? It can't be done. It's not like the normal type of case you deal with.
I don't believe that you're any more committed to a progressive kind of a nation. I don't think you're more committed than he is.
Who cares? You're just a fan of a show.
Listen to me, will you?
No, I'm not. I mean, I don't understand the point you want to make. You want to make peace when there is no basis for the of you to make peace.
What you're saying is BEI is going down the drain, because I'm sure...
No, that they've changed, or they decided to get rid of a bunch of programmers, and they just did. And it's over, and it's history, and you can scream and yell, but the board ain't going to change it. Nobody's going to change it. It's just the way it is. Star Trek has been canceled. It's been canceled. Believe me, it's over.
All right, Trek, I didn't say anything about that.
It's over. It's over. It's beyond my power. It's beyond your power. It's beyond the power of all the people on the board of directors of the Pacifica Foundation. It's over.
Can you listen for a second? Okay.
Well, come say something that I should listen to.
Okay.
Give me something valuable that's worth this 50,000 watts.
The Queensborough Public
Library. Oh, you're wasting it so far anyway talking about internal politics of the state.
The Queensborough Public Library announced at one point that they were closing libraries. The libraries they chose to close happened to be in the minority neighborhood. They were going to close them because of the fact that there wasn't enough circulation. A lawsuit was brought by myself and the NAACP, and the matter was settled, and was settled by having a staggering of the libraries. One library would open on Monday, close on Tuesday.
But it's not a rational thing.
It's not rational.
There's not a rational thing going on here.
It's not rational.
It's not your big hero. The person your hero you want to see back on here is not approaching the whole thing from a rational perspective. All right? They want to win. All right? He's part of a group that wants to win. It's not
about... part of a group?
So you don't understand what I'm saying here. Can you listen for 5 seconds? Can I respond to what you're saying?
Go ahead.
All right? It's about the control of the whole Pacifica network. It's not about his... show.
Listen,
you see what I'm saying? It's not about his show.
You've given up because
it's about control of the whole network.
But
nobody is going to go back to the way things were unless the whole control of the network is taken over by the dissident group. It's not going to go back to that unless, and they want to and are trying through corporate tactics, anti-corporate quote tactics. To take control of the whole national board.
Have you ever heard of the word plaintiff and defendant? In every case, they have them. Plaintiff and defendant.
You're just not looking at it. You're looking at it. Do you see what I'm saying?
Are settled.
But you're not understanding. Listen, can you listen to this? Let me tell you this. All right. Let me tell you this. This is a big, huge political debate over the philosophy and the future of the network, all right? It has nothing to do with one man's show. He's not doing his show. Your show was not canceled because of one man's actions.
I'm talking about the fact that half of the people are
you're
not
living.
There anymore.
You're so naive, man. I can't believe you could be an administrative court judge and as naive about politics as you are.
Okay.
You're being totally naive. How do you think that two people who are inimically opposed politically, to the point where there's never going to... both sides have said repeatedly there's no negotiations, and there are no negotiations, and there have been no negotiations.
What you're talking about is Democrats and Republicans. You're talking about the
right, guess ready. Your beautiful, wonderful, beloved WBAI is more rent than the U.S. Congress, because at least a Republican and a Democrat in the U.S. Congress are nice to each other in public.
Oh.
We don't even have that here.
They're not nice, and you've reported yourself to
why don't you listen to somebody who's actually on the inside and has 20 years of experience here? It's not going to be an easy peace based on going to a judge and having him solomonically divide. You know, not when one side totally wants power, you know. Anyway, you're on the radio.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I I really don't know what to say to you sometimes. I really love the AI. I like you. I listen to you folks. Why not let the man just finish what he's saying and then say, hey?
Because I don't want to talk about this crap anyway. I really hate it. I could care less.
See,
and I just played a thing about the U.S. school or the Americas.
I just got on the phone and you will not let me finish.
But no, I'm responding to what you're saying.
Yeah, but why not? Why can't you not just breathe and let someone talk?
Because you're going to talk about crap that I don't want to talk about. Who cares? I don't care about the internal politics of the station. Don't you understand? I don't want to hear it. You want to go into a whole song and dance about who should be on what show and your programs and fans. Well, then tell me what you're going to talk about and don't start talking about, oh, this person has a show and I really wish he was back on his show.
That's what I'm going to say?
Well,
you know what I'm going to say?
Why are you defending the last guy? Because that's what he wanted to talk about. It's like I just played this whole thing about the school of the assassins and nobody wants to talk about it. I find that horrendous.
Why will you what I'm saying?
That's why. I just said why.
Okay, so you're saying
I want to talk about the U.S. government murdering people and I want to talk about what we're going to do about it and you want to talk about what goddamn show you want to listen to.
And now, and look at that. Now you're being...
Yes.
But I'm saying,
look at it.
You know what I think? I think you're stressed.
No, I'm not stressed. I'm telling you right now, you're making a personal attack against me when all I'm trying to say is that we should talk about what's important. And I am totally, this is what I'm frustrated about, is that people who say they're progressives and listen to BAI and all they give a damn about is they're like fans of a rock band. You know, like fans of a TV show that's been canceled.
What I'm calling for...
Then what are you calling for and say it?
I'm calling for that if someone calls in, breathe and let them finish.
I don't give a crap. I don't give a crap. Do you understand that? Don't tell me the idea
really
how to run my show. I don't give a crap. Do you understand that? Don't you understand that? I mean, what are you going to interrupt me to tell me that I do give a crap? I don't give a crap. I'm telling you right now, people should talk about what's important.
Okay.
Not their tastes in music.
I'm definitely, and I don't want to be rude, and I'm not going to be.
I don't care if you're rude.
Yeah, well,
I don't give a goddamn.
I'm not going to be rude.
Talk about what's important.
I'm not going to be rude.
Don't waste my time and waste the time of the listeners with crap.
What I'm saying is I think that sometimes we really need to sit down and say, look, this is really disturbing me.
What's disturbing you?
I need to move away.
What is disturbing you?
No, I'm saying to you.
What is disturbing you? Big goddamn deal. I have a right to be disturbed. What do you think your person has a radio show for? You think you get a radio show so you can be sweet and nice to everybody? You get to listen to radio.
Definitely not.
It's about getting at the truth and about debating things. And not wasting time. I'm going to tell you how I think about something. I'm not going to listen to your to verbal diarrhea about crap.
Okay.
About what show I wanted to listen to 3 hours ago.
You know, we still love BAI, and we still.
I could care less. Don't talk about we. You don't represent we. Since when do you represent more than one person? Yourself. You represent nobody but yourself. So don't disingenuously use the term we. That's a lie. You don't represent we. You represent you. What do you want?
I want when anyone calls in that they're respected and that people breathe and say, you know, I think you're very wrong.
You might not get that.
Think, yes.
You might not get that from me. I'm not going to necessarily give you what you want.
Obviously not. And
all right? Why waste our time asking for something I don't really feel I have a responsibility to give you?
Well, it's not just about you. It's about...
Then call somebody else's show and tell them.
You know,
goodbye.
I'll say...
You're on the radio.
Hello?
Oh, by the way, I think it was absolutely horrendous, the lies that were told in order to force Clayton Riley off the air. And I would like Clayton to call in right now, and I would give him this phone and this time to say what he feels about the mess that was created and the lies that were been told about him. You're on the radio.
Hello?
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Paul.
Yeah.
You're out of your mind.
Clayton Riley was taken advantage of and was lied about. And it's very interesting that people eat those lies. And you're on the radio.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
The tape that you played about the School of the Americas was fantastic. It's exactly the right thing, you know, exactly what WBAI is all about.
Exactly.
But you played a tape. Robert Knight used to make tapes like
that. No, we had Father Bourgeois on this show last year, live, He was on my show. He was on the show with Jody and I for 3 hours taking calls. That's okay. Not true.
Okay. I stand corrected.
You do.
But
all right, you should.
Thank you.
Because you're fans of a show doesn't mean that you have a right to listen to that show. Nobody said that you have a right to any one show. You're one out of 30 million people.
Well,
you know, think about it. You're not one of 500 people. You're not one of 50 people. You're one of 30 million in the city of New York. And what you want is registered as what it's worth, 1/30 millionth of the opinions out there.
Well, yeah, but, you know, the fringy role.
Do you belong to BAI? Yeah. Have you ever given money to WBAI?
Oh, of course, yeah, for years and years.
All right. So how much have you given? You think, in all the years you've given, how much have you given total?
A lot less than I've given to Burger King and the Gap. And
give me an idea of how much. How much have you given in all? You know, give me a how much have you given in what in the year before the changes happened that made you stop giving?
It's WBA.
How much have you given?
Well, why do you assume
total.
That I stopped giving?
Because I'm going to then divide that by how much the operating budget has been over those years, and we'll give you a percentage of what your opinion's worth.
Well, you know
what percentage of the several millions of dollars that were given did you give?
The assumption that the value of my opinion is based upon my proportion of...
Well, you just brought up that you're a listener who gave money to the station and are members of the station and you want to have an opinion and you want to have an insight to it. Let's put a weight on that of your opinion, because how else are people here supposed to decide whether your opinion or two other people's opinions are equal or not?
Well, I follow what you're saying, but... you know, that's sort of the mindset of commercial radio, where, you know, you can buy 15 seconds or 30 seconds.
Oh, so we should be like what? We should just be your radio station, in other words.
Then
it wouldn't be commercial if it was yours, because, of course, you're so uncommercial. I don't know anything about you. For all I know, you're a head of a corporation.
It could be. It's a unique, fringy role. That's the best way I could describe it.
Right, but if nobody's listening, who cares?
Well, nobody, you know...
If nobody's listening, literally, and the arbitrons are flat, so flat that you can't even see light between the bottom of the graph and the line, what does that tell you?
Well, that phrase, nobody, though, could mean thousands or tens of thousands. When networks say nobody, they sometimes...
There's a few hundred at most listen to a lot of these shows.
Yeah. Well, the station kept going for years and years and years with that kind of listenership.
Has it kept going?
Well,
listen,
you're on.
You know, has it really kept going that well? I mean, nobody listens. There's no promotion. It's almost flatline, on the arbitrons, except for the Gary Knowles show.
The
Gary Knowles show is like raises half the money of the whole network, of the whole station.
From the point of view of broadcast.
For years. I mean, not just last year or this year. I mean, I'm talking about back in 1991, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96. Every one of those years, Gary Knowles raised almost all the money and ran the whole network. The whole station, that is. And that's a fact.
So
you know what? Guess what about those Gary Knoll people? The vast majority of them don't listen to any other show on WBAI. Do you know that? The vast majority of them only listen to Gary Knoll and no other show on WBAI. They have no interest in any other program on WBAI. They tune in for Gary Knoll, they give money for Gary Knoll, and then they tune away to another station.
Well, don't you think that's also true of the audience for the Hacker Show or, lots of other special interest type shows?
What's the special interest? I mean, the Hacker Show? I mean, does it have a huge audience?
I have no idea.
Does that raise a real lot of money?
I imagine they're a very technically skilled audience.
You know about the hackers?
Yeah.
Well, as computer technology changes, there's going to be less of a role for hackers because the technology, the code is being changed. It's becoming much more regularized. The day of the old Internet is changing. It'll be a much more structured Internet. And nobody's going to be able to hack it anymore.
Well,
just read the book, The Code. It was a fascinating book. It has all that, the latest developments are to change the whole way the Internet is written so that it's impossible for people to operate on the Internet anonymously.
Yeah, well, that's lack of...
So knowledge. That'll be the end of hacking.
I mean, just look at EasyPass, Anyway...
there you go. So, who knows if 5 years from now there's going to be a role for a hacker show.
Right, but I think this whole road of...
And, you can't say are we going to have a show about Model T Fords, because people like that. I mean, they had a show in California about the Soviet Union that lasted for 9 years after there wasn't a Soviet Union. And people still freaked out when they canceled it, finally.
Well, I can say
it's true.
This very
that truly happened.
This unique, fringy role.
And it still does have that.
And the question shouldn't be...
But that doesn't seem... Your idea of fringy, what I feel, a lot of people's idea of fringy is just bad.
Well, can I just make one last point?
Yeah.
The question shouldn't be like, what can make the most money? How many Gary Knowles can we throw into the mix to just...
No,
you know,
the idea is how we can not...
It's what's the minimum? What can
Who's
we get by with? What's
paying
the
for
minimum
it?
Minimum we can get by with? That we'll
You're
be
not answering the question,
the
though.
Audience.
You're not... Answering the question, who's paying for it? Are you saying that through the kindness of Gary Knoll, we can have a station that the other 23 hours a day is fringy?
Yeah. Absolutely.
But Gary Knoll, who's to say Gary Knoll will always be so kind?
I mean, he came from commercial radio.
Who's to say that Gary Knoll will always be so kind?
He's right on the border.
What happens if he, like, keeled over from a heart attack tomorrow?
Right. Well, and, you know.
As one song we played earlier in the evening said that what was the name of that song? It was a fascinating tune. Oh yeah, it's the Kingfish tune, "Sundown in the Forest." Yeah, they have a line in that: "Hey, we could all be gone tomorrow in the flash of an eye."
Well, good thing Gary Knoll's still there.
Yeah. Or else, you know. Well, the thing is that obviously people don't like it, but changes have to be made in the direction that. That puts this station and this network on a footing where it can afford to survive. And you might say that's horrible, but, you know, I've been in a lot of organizations where this dispute came up, a lot of left-wing organizations. You know, I'm telling you.
This
is nothing new.
Targeted, though. I saw what you're saying, but there's some, like, pretty weird shows that stay on the air that, you know, would have more esoteric audience.
Well, you know, you get into things, I can't speak for what's in other people's minds, but the fact of the matter is if one paints oneself into a corner to the point where they get removed from the air or remove themselves from the air, as seems to be happening, in order to make a political point, and then everybody acts, you know, there's a lot of lies going around. I mean, the people in the so-called opposition are often trying to put themselves on a higher moral footing than they deserve in order to fight a very basically selfish fight. And the listeners don't want to think the worst of the people they listen to, you know, the shows they're fans of. But, I feel that people should have taken the 20 years experience I have in this network and the years of experience and the things they liked about this show and the things I've said in all these years and listen carefully.
Okay.
You know? Listen carefully because I'm not an idiot, all right?
Yeah,
I made decisions based on my, as a progressive revolutionary person, analysis from the inside of what was going on, not based on, well, I like that show so much, I don't want them to cancel it. What am I going to do tonight if I don't have my show? All right?
Well, you would agree that Democracy Now! Is a very good show, I'm sure.
Well, you know, you want to push me to give you... I mean, but I don't think it's fair for someone to fight a business fight by accusing people of hostility and violence when it didn't exist, when it's a lie. When it's a lie, a dirty, filthy, capitalist pig lie.
I know nothing about that. But let me
Now you do. Now you know something.
Can I ask you one question? Or before all that? Happened.
No. Before you see, when people say, I want to ask you one question, that means that they're totally discounting what you just said a second ago.
I
don't want you to discount what I said. I just said your hero, who you said does a great job, when it came to Clayton Riley, lied.
I know.
And what does that say about the rest of the material you hear on that program? When they lie about something in order to stay in power.
Can I ask my one?
All right. And you know what? Before you dismiss me, listen to 10 years of programming I did here and think, why would he think that and say that? And maybe you'll learn something. You're on the radio.
Hello?
Well, hi, yes. I just want to support what a previous caller said, that you really should let him talk.
And we do let him talk, but I'm telling you right now, I am not going to put up with propaganda from the opposition.
Okay, so that's
you're not important enough.
Okay, so you're not going to let
You're not important. No, I'm going to defeat people who have an opinion that I believe is wrong.
Okay, so you're not.
You're right. I have always been that kind of person. The purpose of Let Him Talk has been to have a point of view, and this show has always had a point of view.
Yeah, but
so don't tell me that it hasn't had a point of view.
before all this started, you used to let people talk, even if...
And I do let people talk, but
yeah,
guess
you
what?
No.
You're on right now. You're talking right now.
I know, but you're talking over me.
No, because you know why?
Because you don't like what I'm saying.
No, because I'm not going to let you use my air, the air that I am the steward of, to critique and attack me.
One of 30 million.
Guess what?
Why are you so much more?
You're not going to be
else?
Able to use the airtime I steward, have stewardship of, to be part of some organization of a handful of crazies.
Well, how come
to attack me?
So far is crazy. Why is that?
Why? Because obviously they're organizing the calls,
it's part of it.
And you know what part of it is? People are groupies and fans, and you know what? I'll tell you this, and maybe this is my naivete, and it always is sort of brought up to me that I should get used to the fact that even on a progressive radio station with people who are supposed to have half a brain, they act like groupies when it comes to their favorite programs.
You know, I don't really give a damn about the personality conflicts or the personalities, but it's pretty obvious that all the most progressive and incisive shows are being canceled.
You see, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong because you don't know everything that's been going on. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what's going on. You're wrong. You don't have the information. You've been lied to.
By you.
You've been lied to.
By you.
No, by people like Amy Goodman, who said there was a hostile work environment and that she was hostily attacked by Clayton Riley, which is a pile of crap.
That's
a lie. Didn't happen. It's been a lie, and you know what? It's a lie backed up by 1,000 thugs writing 1,000,000 letters who are engaged in an act which I think is extortion.
Extortion of
a radio network.
You're out doing
it's an extortion, and you're part of the extortion. You're committing the conspiracy crime of extortion.
Get yourself checked for brain.
Yeah, well, I think you're an extortionist.
You do?
Yes, and you're using violent tactics, you and your organization, in order to attack a board of directors and to attack programmers you don't agree with using the crime of extortion.
Extortion?
Yes, extortion, violence, the threat of violence if you don't get what you want.
Oh, if I threaten violence.
All right, that's what your group is doing. That's what the Pacifica campaign is doing. They're engaged in extortion.
Well, you know what? I don't care about
extortion.
Whatever.
I do.
I don't care.
And you're on the radio.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Hi.
I called the other day. Remember about the marshal?
Yeah.
And the lady?
Right.
That was a wonderful piece you just did on the School of America. You know, Anna says I'm in Bed-Stuy. Scraping pains together, but my money that I made over the years is going overseas to train thugs to kill your own people.
Mm-hmm.
Don't it make you sick to your stomach?
Yeah, it does, and it's when you see
the
photos.
It really does, man.
And you know, that people should focus.
Very graphic.
It's a graphic video, and
terrible.
The U.S. is here spending millions of dollars every year to train folks. And you have to understand, look at I was just reading an AP story the other day. No, it was actually a story in ABC News, and I'll give the corporate media this. They dug this little bit of information up, that the United States has a law called the Arms Control Export Act that says that you're not supposed to use the U.S. arms you buy in order to kill civilians.
Oh, boy.
See, it's funny nobody noticed.
Well, did somebody able to say that you're not supposed to use shotguns in warfare? Remember when the Vietnam with the serious tags on them?
Yeah, pardon me? Say that again, I'm sorry.
Remember, you're not supposed to use shotguns in warfare.
Oh,
remember
right.
Remember
yeah.
When they had in Vietnam with the serious labels still on them?
Oh, right, and they started using the shotguns, right?
That's right, which is against the Geneva Convention.
Right. Well, you know, I think, you know, when war happens, all those rules get thrown out. I mean, they write all kinds of rules of war and laws of war and everything. But, you know, let's face it, in the end, it's the winner of the war that determines what the rules are.
That's right.
And,
another thing, dum-dum bullets.
Dum-dum bullets, right. We use extensively. And how about, like, you know, they find cops are allowed to use them.
Oh, yes, flatheads, too.
Yeah, and it's weird because, like, they call them cop killer bullets because they would say that the people would use them in order to shoot police, but the police are allowed to use them.
What a hypocrisy.
And the thing about the bulletproof vest, now, I couldn't believe it when I heard if you wear a bulletproof vest, you can be arrested.
Which is...
It's against the law to wear a bulletproof vest.
It was supposed to have been known as body armor. Executives was wearing them year for years.
It's like added... If you're, like, arrested with that and you don't have a reason and you're not licensed to wear it...
Well, I've been trying to stay alive is a good reason.
I know. You
remember
would think that
when
would be
they had that store down on West Broadway?
The Survivalist?
And then they had all this bulletproof clothing there.
Yeah, Survivalist.
Right.
Yeah.
So that type of store is outlawed? No. Is that right?
Well, it's who you sell it to.
Yeah, but you know...
But that was for just the general public. Did you ever see that store?
I've been in it.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure. Maybe there's other folks out there who know the law exactly, but there's a body armor law for sure, because I would read articles where people would be arrested for wearing body armor.
I heard something about that, too, so you know...
I'm not exactly sure what the law is. Maybe it's like depends on what you're using it for, who you are. Like, if you buy it, you can be a security guard maybe and have it.
Yes, but I guess... They figure everybody's going to be a bank robber in L.A.
But I tell you, I think it's patently unfair to say that the government always has to have a military advantage by law over the citizenry.
That's,
it sort of takes the heart out of the Second Amendment.
That goes back to a dictatorship.
Yeah. I mean, but at the same time, I think that it would probably be unrealistic for the government to say that everybody could, like, stockpile. Let's put it this way. There's plenty of folks stockpiling arms in America.
Oh, no question about it.
And they don't get investigated.
They sure don't.
And I have these tapes. I don't know if we'll get to it, but some of these militia groups.
I was going to mention them.
Yeah, in Montana and Michigan.
Yes.
And different places are very well armed. And
they overstocked.
To say the least, I've seen pictures. We know what's going on with these folks, and they really believe in guns and all these things.
What was that guy at the time, that redneck that was a farmer that held up the FBI until he hit his ammunition dump, remember?
There's so many of these stories.
David
I have to think
Koresh?
Of which one it is. No. David Koresh.
No.
Up in, there was a guy in Ruby Ridge.
Well, he was before Ruby Ridge. This one.
Right. And there was, there was a guy from the Order.
Yes.
And that's a famous story, and I read the book, and he, Matthews
yes.
was his name. I forget his first name. It was Matthews, Bob Matthews, I think.
Uh-huh.
And he was a real true believer in the Aryan Nation.
Yes, he was.
And which is Richard Butler, used to be based in Idaho, and he just recently lost their compound in a very interesting lawsuit. A mother and... I think her son or daughter were driving around, and they drove past they live in Idaho, and they drove past quite coincidentally on their way somewhere the entrance to the Aryan Nation's compound.
Oh, wow.
And they look in their rearview mirrors at night, and they see headlights, and they get pulled over and beaten to within an inch of their life by these maniacs who thought that they were. Didn't realize they were just pedestrians and thought they were, like...
Invading their compound. Oh, my God.
Right. So the woman sued.
Good.
It was just recently concluded, and the Aryan Nations lost, and they had to give up in order to pay the...
Restitution.
They had to give this woman their compound, and now she owns it.
Well, that was a case in Georgia about the woman was awarded $12 million from the Ku Klux Klan.
Right.
But missed her son.
Exactly, right. He murdered his son, and they had to, that clan chapter had to dissolve.
That's right.
That's the, now these lawsuits have been used quite effectively in these sort of cases, especially as Butler was such a major spokesperson for this Aryan Nations. And going back to Bob Matthews, he was responsible for, machine gunning a radio talk show host by Edward Berg.
Oh, Colorado.
In Colorado.
Yeah, I remember that case.
Yes, and he was responsible for a number of robberies in which their favorite M.O. was to rob armored trucks.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold your thought right there. Who was that guy that wrote that book that your man, Timothy McVeigh, was reading?
Right, that's I read just the first chapter of that book.
Well, he's trying to put his thing out in rock music and CDs. Yeah.
Yeah, I got one of them, actually, at home.
Okay.
I got one somewhere. It's weird. I got sent to me or left here in a box. And
I know.
Frightening, that weird CD.
Yeah.
I know, it's very terrifying.
So now, which is so deep now, no more cotton and silk robes, Brooke Brothers suits, and Samsonite briefcases, right?
a lot of these guys are the same people who are involved. Like, you know, they're using these civilian contractors to go into Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, like, flying these planes because the U.S. military aren't allowed to fly the planes, but then the U.S. military can hire people to fly
the planes. Oh, no, not America.
Yeah, it's just like mercenaries.
Yeah.
And, you know, where do they get these mercenaries?
Thank you.
I mean, who are the people? The people we were talking about earlier who are stockpiling these guns.
That's
and
right.
Who the government never seems to bother while they're arresting somebody on the street for having a bulletproof vest.
Mm-hmm. Or suspicion of having a gun.
Yeah.
Not actually seeing one, but suspicion.
Yeah.
Of possessing a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, like Bob Gates said, make you want to holler, don't it?
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. Well, very interesting. Thank you very much, Colin.
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
I was down in your area. I got to go to the clinic down there.
Mm-hmm.
God, what they've done to 3rd Avenue, 21st Street, and 20th Street.
Mm-hmm.
It's all yuppified.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that neighborhood
You just noticed
changed.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Everything is Gramercy Park now.
Yeah, that neighborhood has totally changed.
Oh, my God. No more little coffee shop. No more little art galleries.
Right. It's totally different.
It sure is. Well, yeah. Bed-Stuy the same way up here, too.
Uh-huh. It's still changing in Bed-Stuy, too.
Oh, yes, it is. Well, Miss Annette Robinson, our counseling person, got all the street vendors off the street.
That's all part of it, because they don't want to clean up the act for the yuppies when they come in.
That's it. And now all the little so-called discount stores are selling out.
I used to say this all the time. Why do folks come to New York in order to be in this land of culture and city of varied people, and they claim to be just wanting to be part of the lifeblood of the big city and to leave the boring suburbs, and then the first thing they do is suburbanize and get rid of everything that makes the city unique?
Well, number one, it turns the city into a sterile place.
Yes.
It's sterile. It's no more rhythm. Take Harlem, for instance. Like you said, take the Lower East Side. No more coffee shops.
Right.
No more beat places.
Exactly.
Everything closed at 6 o'clock. Everything was a steel gate.
I used to love... Maybe people will hate this, but I used to love, in winter in the Lower East Side when I first moved there, huddling with my friends around a burn barrel.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd be sitting around and drinking wine and beer and having a good time and really getting to know each other. And we built a community where everybody really knew each other and cared for each other.
Well, and I mean, it led to doo-wop around the burning camp. Remember those things?
Yeah,
oh, wow. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right.
Right.
There you go. That's an interesting historical note.
Yes.
And that's the type of thing that I miss the days when you could go around the city with a beer and a paper bag. I'm not saying people should go drink beer or anything, but
that's
I'm saying
right.
that.
But there was a time.
Yes. When you could just sit there and I've had cops, I sat and would talk to a cop on the beat standing on my corner with a beer in my hand.
That's right.
I remember even after they said you couldn't have any beer in the park, and what people were still drinking beer in the park, and the commander of the policing came over and was sitting talking to us and asking, could you guys please, like, you know, finish your beers and leave?
That's it.
And we said, okay, sure, and we finished them and left. And that was it. You know, those were just wonderful times. That was the New York I used to love.
That's right. Or you could just walk out the street passing the joint back and forth.
Yeah.
And no problem.
No problem.
Yeah, boy, those were the days. Huh?
Wasn't they?
I'm telling you.
And then not only that, they wonder why there's so much crime amongst the youth. They have no activities. There's no more. When I was young, right, we had two movies in the neighborhood. And they were like 50 cent. They would change. One would change Saturday, the other would change Sunday. And for $1, we got to see 6 movies on 2 alternate days. What happened to that culture? What happened to 42nd Street, where you could bring a whole family for $10?
Yep. I know, now it's $10 each.
Yeah.
You can't even go to a movie.
Hey, movie what? You better buy from the brother on the street if we can catch him.
I know. I know, it's a fun part of New York. And, you know, it gets to the point where people, we sit around and we talk about, wow, wouldn't it be great if, like, the economy collapsed and the crime rate went back up again and all the yuppies would go home.
Yeah,
it's sad. I mean, it shouldn't be like that.
Right, but, you know, Times Square is a joke. There's no more Playland. Remember Playland?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I know. It's so bizarre, and it's so crowded with all the tourists. You can't even walk down the street.
But they look like zombies, though.
Isn't
well, it's interesting because you see families with children even under 10 there at midnight.
Yes.
Which you never, ever saw before. I mean, that to me is a fascinating difference.
Mm-hmm.
People bring not just children, not teenagers, but small children into Times Square in the middle of the night now.
That's right. And there was a time when the service had big revenue going back from 42nd to either uptown or downtown. Now, if you hardly see anybody on the train at night, it's a miracle.
There you go. I mean, it's weird. I mean, but, you know, I have a feeling New York is irreproachable. You know, you can't
change it down.
Keep it down.
No, you can't.
It's, forever.
It's like the Chinese dragon.
It's got to come up somewhere. It's going to pop up somewhere.
That's right.
And, you know, the age of Giuliani is coming to an end.
Thank God.
Hallelujah.
Thank
that's
God.
The first. I don't have any faith in any of these people who are running, but at least that's happening.
That's right.
Time comes and time changes. And it'll be interesting to see what opportunities for the people to regain control of their city will present themselves.
Not only that, their culture. Because look at the Chinese New Year.
Mm-hmm. I used to love that. And that was one of the worst things when they stopped that.
Didn't they?
Can you believe they stopped that?
I don't even know what's going to happen the first Labor Day parade on Eastern Parkway now.
I know. They got rid of the beer. You can't even have a beer there.
And
a hot day. And you know.
Oh, man, it was a fiesta on that day.
You know, I think if they tried to stop people from drinking beer on the on Labor Day or the 4th of July in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Or in, and I've been there on the 4th of July. You don't, you know, and you know, or in all the places I can think of across America where celebrating these days and drinking beer and having your big party is like a big part of the culture. But in New York, all of a sudden,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're not, we're just like not allowed, we're in prison or something. You know, we're under like minimum security lockdown here.
Well, you mean maximum security.
Maximum. Well, it's minimum. I guess maximum is when you're actually behind bars, so I used to call the streets minimum security.
Well, if he gets his wish, it will be maximum before he retire.
That's what he tried to do. So we've had so many guests on, our friends, when we had the hip-hop cruise in the Lower East Side.
I remember
on.
Them.
And every, you know, I'm going to have them on again sometime, but, you know.
Just talk to Big High.
Yeah, we just talked to them, yeah.
Okay.
And they're going on and on about, like, all their friends going to jail like it was nothing.
Yeah.
And it's because of Giuliani. That it was because every one of them, the crimes they were going to jail for were like, you know, smoking a joint, being in the wrong place at the wrong time, talking, you know, it's all the type of quality of life stuff.
It stinks.
That why would you take children, young people,
That's
and give
right.
them like criminal records for doing what young people have done throughout all time?
Yes.
It's like taking children and criminalizing them.
But you know, but then that goes back to the point. Why, during the time of prohibition, was the judges' court and all the politicians' court in the speakeasies?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, but the average man was supposed to uphold the Halstead Act. But the muckety muckers, my man said, on the honeymooners, could be found in the speakeasies, though.
Yeah.
Was now they could be found smoking a joint.
Yeah. Well, that was what I call the Bolsheviks. Anybody caught smoking marijuana is considered a Bolshevik.
Right. <Yeah. laughs> They probably weren't too far from the truth in those days.
That's right.
But everybody knew that except the real Bolsheviks. They wouldn't have put up for it.
Oh, no. You would have went to the wall or the gulag.
Yeah, probably. Probably. Well, thank you very much. There's a lot of people are calling. I really appreciate it.
It was a real pleasure, you know, talking to you, Ms. Moosey.
Yeah.
Oh, nice to talk to you, too.
Right. Got to hang on the air a little more, Joni. You miss you, girl.
Yeah.
That's right.
Thanks.
Okay, peace and love. Y'all have
you
a good
too.
Day
Take
now.
Care.
Thanks for calling.
I'll hear you in the morning, Paul.
All right, we'll be here.
If you can get up.
I'm not even going
now
down.
Stay there.
I stay up.
All right.
Thanks.
Peace and love, y'all. Hang
you
on.
Too. Right. Bye.
Good night.
See, there we go. We let him talk. You're on the radio.
Hello?
Yeah, am I going to be allowed?
Please? Yeah, hey, Monroe, you'll be allowed. As long as you'll be allowed to make one significant statement.
Wait a minute. Hold it. Wait a minute.
Calling back 11 times in the course of the morning might not be as cool.
Take it easy. Trying to...
We were on the bus together the other
day. Right.
I got your message.
All right. Thank you. I mean, I'm trying to understand the new situation is... freedom of speech for some and not for all, or what? Now, here, let me say
this. We've given you freedom of speech, Monroe.
Let me say this. I'm not, I'm talking with that in the past, but that was the old BAI. Now, here's the story.
You want even more freedom of speech this time in the new BAI, right?
Well, let me say this.
Because you haven't. Let's face it, you've been very cool on this. You have not, can I say this? I'll let you talk. I mean, but I just want to make a point. I have to say, Monroe, that in all of this that's happened in the last 6 months, you are not, or 8 months, you are not one of the folks. You've been to the protests and all the rallies and everything, but you call up and you're very much still the gentleman.
Of course, not
on this
gentleman.
Issue.
I'm trying to be conciliatory. And now that means trying to bring two sides together, because I don't even want to agree with the thought that we are actually opposing one another. I said it before, I'm saying it again. The side that is the Concerned Friends is withholding their funds to the point that they want to, have a political or a spiritual or an intellectual or whatever you want to call it, opportunity at some sort of bargaining about what's going on. Now, we have had what we thought was a station concerned with liberty and justice. We're talking about justice for all. No freedom, no justice, no peace. Now, you can't...
Now, can I make this point? Remember, 24 times 7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all right? That's 160, 8 hours or something like that. There's a physical, objective limitation to access to the air.
Yeah, but no one can accuse you of not having air time. You have time to speak, and other people have a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Now, what I'm trying to get to is this. Clayton Riley jumped Amy about the fact that she didn't say that this caller who Clayton had dismissed as saying, we don't take that kind of stuff here, you said it, but...
Did you listen to the...
I heard what happened on the air that day.
Right, but did you actually hear the tape?
And he said that one of your army, Amy.
Did you hear the tape?
Well, yeah, I heard the actual moment.
Right, I just read the transcript.
Well, I was listening to the air, and he jumped her...
Well,
I'm trying to tell you what my...
I don't like your use of the word jumped, because that didn't happen. Nobody was jumped.
Well, what I'm saying is, she has done programs about the Nigerian oil. She has stood up for countless people.
So have a lot of people. There's
course.
No sacred cows. Cut the sacred cows.
That's the
sacred cows. I'm no sacred cow. You're not a sacred cow. Nobody's a sacred cow. Everybody can be discussed, and everybody will be discussed.
Let's discuss it.
All right.
Now,
this is what I want to discuss.
Clayton Riley has been very difficult with me. He said, you're only getting 2 minutes. I'm not going to talk to you. And I said, but Clayton, I didn't like the way Dr. Mary Frances Berry related to the WBAI staff. She said she'd get back to us in 1 month. She didn't get back in 1 month, 2 months, 3 months about the federal National Labor Relations Board, the NLRC. What I'm trying to say is that she didn't relate to us honestly. She said she would, and she didn't. She could have easily made a tape, and it could have been played on the air. Now, what I'm trying to say is that I wrote up this thing, you remember, where I said she lied. And it was at a time when...
What was the lie again?
The lie was that she said she'd get back to us in 1 month's time.
Who's she? Who's she again?
Dr. Mary Frances Berry.
Right.
And she didn't do what she said she was going to do. So that, to me, was a lie. And if I have to go to prison for having written
it... A long time ago. She doesn't really have anything to do with it.
No, but let me explain. He has chosen to be down on me to the point that when he was listening to Where We Live with Sally O'Brien and Sophia Bendelli...
Think of it this way. Listen, I don't agree with the decisions that Mary Frances Berry made when she was in power. She's no longer in power. But let me say this. Let me say something. Let's have a conversation here.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I say this? That do you not think... that a black woman who has made it to the point of being an important person in the United States government, a person who's in charge of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, deserves a certain amount of respect.
Well, not blind respect.
Who's saying that? There's no sacred cows.
I know that I was at
But
the
I'm
meeting.
Saying this, that a certain amount of verbal respect that this person has achieved...
Yeah,
has achieved. Let me finish
about.
This. Whether I agree, can I finish my point? Because you don't like where I'm going and you're getting upset.
Go on.
That
I'm trying to say
she has achieved something, and then when I look upon the unwashed masses of 75 or 50 people who show up to protest like they did the other day, and I count those people and I see, well, 65, 66, 67 people, and maybe if I add a few there and there, it'll come
I'm
to
in
75.
That group, but go on.
Right, about 75 people. What have they achieved?
Look,
what have any of them achieved?
Let me explain something to you. Achievement I stopped going to school to get degrees because I cannot accept the oversight of people who are in this kind of business of education. And as a matter of fact, the reason I listen to WBAI because there is that somehow a better thinking that goes on than in the institutions of learning. Where, you know, there's so many aspects to how people advance themselves. You know, I've had teachers who liked women and didn't show me the proper respect and so on. So I don't go along with getting degrees means that much. It's good.
It's what one achieves in life, not what degrees you get.
Look,
what things you can say you've done.
I saw her sitting at this on C-SPAN. Where she presided over the voting review. And what? I mean, she called on people who raised their hand and so on. There wasn't any great brilliance that she showed. And the thing, the reports were written up and submitted.
So she doesn't deserve your respect.
No. Wait a minute.
Are you saying that?
I respect you, Treece Lead. I respect Dr. Mary Frances Berry. I respect you. I respect Joni. But it doesn't give you the right to deny me the opportunity to say what I honestly think. So I put it on the table, and then you review it, and you review your ideas.
Well, you spend more time setting up the situation than saying what it is you believe.
Let me just say this. I did not say something on the air. I know I didn't say it because I was moving around doing my job.
Oh, you're accused of having said the N-word on the air.
Clay said I said it. I told him I didn't. I spoke to Sally O'Brien. She said she heard the program. She heard the remark made by a person. And she said, I didn't think it was your voice. And she said you would get back to Clayton, and she hasn't apparently.
I guess nobody had that on tape.
Dub did a voice check on somebody's comment and said, no, that really wasn't Monroe. We did a acoustic.
Who used the N-word?
Huh?
Use the N-word on the radio, right? Is
me?
That what you're trying to? No, that's the accusation, though.
What?
That you used the N-word on the radio.
I didn't use the N-word. No. It was that somebody said to Sophia Bendelli on the program that, where's Sally? Is she out drinking or getting drunk or some sort of...
No.
Now
it's the Irish you're slurring.
Me that I can't talk.
There wasn't enough African-Americans. Let's slur the Irish.
Yeah, well, I mean, the point is, I never even thought about Sally's taking in any kind of, material.
But you're a funny guy, Monroe. I love you. Anyway, I'm going to let you talk on my show, but there's a lot of people calling.
Let me just say this. Clayton wouldn't even tell me what I was accused of saying, and I got, what is his name?
I think, you know what, this? I think that poor Clayton really has you pegged as part of the other side and the enemy, and you're not. I think that you really are, at heart, a good person. At times, you go over the top in some of your rhetoric, but on the whole, I really think you're a good person, Monroe. That's why Joni and I allow you to speak at length. However, there is a limit to everything, including our patience, so we're going to move on to the next call. Thank you very much. You made your points. Thank you, Monroe.
Good night, Monroe.
You're on the radio.
Hello.
Good morning, Paul.
Hi.
Good morning, Joni.
Hi, how you doing?
Listen, Joni, take care of that man because he can blow a fuse. Listen, I'm concerned, really. Well, Clayton is one of my men, definitely. Mm-hmm. I met him long before. I met him in church, he and his brother. So I didn't get to know him just on BAI. But Paul, I picked up very quickly about what this other side was all about. My priority has been children, always. I taught, and in terms of juvenile crime, et cetera, et cetera. And when I heard that these people went after children to harass them and intimidate family members, I knew something was wrong right away.
Right.
I mean, it just cannot be. Why would my sister get assaulted because of my personal beliefs? You know, I can't see that.
Right. Because they want to win at all costs. And, you know, this is, I've been, you know, had enough contact with the folks in the opposition under various circumstances, in the streets, on buses, in different environments, and on the internet, and all these places. And after careful study, really, of their attitudes and viewpoints, I've come to the conclusion, deep in my heart, that they are lying when they say that they are leftist or progressives. All right, that is a cover, because in New York, which is a paranoid town in general, they can get a rise out of people by claiming that there's a fascist takeover of their radio station.
Yeah.
When in actual fact, it is a small group of people who had their run, and like all good things, it must come to an end.
That's right.
And that they don't want it to come to an end. They're incapable of accepting the fact that change happens under any circumstances, and that there is, all of us could be gone tomorrow in the blink of an eye. And that's the way of life, and that is what they're really rebelling against.
Well, it's unfortunate they don't get it. You know, when I was studying for my master's, we were told that I studied counseling, guidance counseling, and we were told that we were change agents. I mean, they put us through all kinds of foolishness that to make us understand you are dealing with change. And that was way back in 1966.
The only constant in life, right?
That's right, change.
That's about it, yeah.
And, you know, listening to some of these listeners and these people with their arguments, they don't get it.
No, they don't want it to change. They, you know, it's what, you know, it's a larger thing, because I think you're almost being too generous, because the more I hear, the more I talk to people, and the more I've, you know, scuttlebutt that comes my way, the more I understand how the selfish, money-based, economic-based, business-based motivations that are driving certain folks, that there are negotiations, for example, that Pacifica doesn't know about, that are being done on a business side with certain people, and that those business negotiations about the future of a certain show on another network are, let's say, aided when the other network thinks that certain show might say, well, you know, I have this other thing I can always go back to if you don't like the deal I'm offering you on the table. While the people who... on the other side, don't even know this person has already decided to leave, is already prepared to leave, and matter of fact, decided they were going to leave 6-7 months ago, and that out of vindictive, vengeful revenge because one's friends were canceled, they're going to extract as much blood as they can in the process of leaving. And that's what I think is going on.
Yeah, the thing that, not talking about knowledge and education, some of these poor listeners call up, and before they open their mouths, they say two sentences, and I know where they're at.
Right, because they all know what's going on, and they're all, because what happens is when the debate, when I debate these people on the internet in different places, and I read the stuff, and I understand that I'm the naive fool from day one, that they all know this.
Yeah.
But they all know what's going on. Better than
they do.
And they know that this is all part of a campaign in order to increase the value of a certain show in business negotiations to leave for another network.
But it's very unfortunate. You know, I really feel sorry for the listeners that are not sophisticated enough and aware of really what's going on, and they get sucked in to all of this, these lies and confusions, and they're all up in the air.
Right, and it's sad, but you know, the thing is, people, you know, unfortunately, that's what's screwed up about our society is that money has come to be the, you know, the coin of the realm. Oh my God, I said the obvious.
Yeah.
That it's all about, everything is all about money.
Money, yes.
And that has, it's weird, corrupting, because it even for good people who mean well have to pay the bills.
Yes.
And you know, one friend of mine, a socialist, revolutionary-type friend of mine, used to always say, boycott capitalism and starve to death. It's impossible to really remove oneself from the capitalist system, and it's becoming more and more rapacious, and it's drawing us into this vortex.
Yeah.
Of everybody trying to better the next person. And you know what my economics professor used to always say to me about capitalism? He says the issue isn't how capitalism works, it's how it doesn't collapse. How, when you have everybody like trying to cut each other's throats,
yes.
How is it that the system thrives?
Yeah. And that's an argument my sister and I have all the time. She said, this damn system going to be here forever.
And it's weird. It's like the self-interest.
Yeah.